Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, and having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know that's hard for us to do. Look not every one on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also of what he done, wherefore pointing back to what he's done. I tell you, someone said a wherefore, therefore points back, but said it also tells you something else coming up better. Man, if it gets any better, I don't know what I could stand it. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit, for the moving of God. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Brother Stacy and them coming over tonight, bringing their prayer meeting. Thank God, I pray, Lord, they'd been blessed, encouraged already. Lord, you strengthen my hand and heart in God just being here tonight. Lord, as they sung these old songs, oh, Lord, how wonderful you are. Lord, it just lifted me up and made me want to get to higher ground in the Lord Jesus Christ. See these ones come to the altar and get help. Lord, I'm glad you are our help. You're the one that can heal the broken heart as well as us health bodies that are physical. You're the one that they take care of the sin question and blot them out and make them, Lord, as though they would never had sin, justified freely by the grace of God. Help now, Lord, I pray, and give us an unction and an anointing, and we'll thank you for that you do in Jesus' name, and thank you for what you've done already. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to look at verse 5. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when you go to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's just something about that name. Bill Gaither wrote that song. And I tell you, when you go to meditating, thinking upon that name and the meaning of that name, and when you called upon that name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and what he did for you, it goes to getting your thoughts a little bit clear. And joy can go to filling your heart. You know, the mind, back in the time of the Korean War, they used what they called in to break the mind, not just to torture. They'd set a person and tie the hands behind the back in a straight back chair. And then some of our soldiers that was captured, the Chinese and the Korean, and then the North Koreans, and they'd tie their feet, they'd blindfold them, they'd sit up there and get water and let it just slowly drip on top of their heads. And finally, after a while, so much of that a time, they said it could break them. And some of them would say things. You know, if you control the mind of a person, you control the person. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God's given us about his mind. You control the mind, you control the person. Just like Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think defeat, you're defeated. If you say, I'm discouraged, and just keep running it over in your mind, if you're not too discouraged, you'll get worse. If you go to thinking we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, we'll come out, thank God, singing victory in Jesus on the other side in a little while. And listen, as we think in our hearts, so are we. You find that the mind is a battlefield. Brother Peter tells us in 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 13, to gird up the loins of your mind. That's a battlefield term. And the mind is where it's a battlefield that we fight. You know something? Out here I got to studying once. The person asked me, said, come point blank, how does God just save a sinner get to you? Well, I got to thinking about that from the Word of God. I knew that so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Through hearing God's Word of the organ of the ear, but I began to search the Scriptures. And I found out the entrance of God's Word gives light. And then the psalmist said, and then the Word of God tells us, not only that, in 2 Corinthians 4:3, he talks about blinded minds. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Boy, the entrance of God's word entered into our darkened mind through the hearing of the word of God. And all of a sudden then, as Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of our understanding were enlightened. He give us faith to believe upon him. From the infallible inerrant word of God in our mind that was blind, we saw the light then. I got up off of my knees that night and I have no more darkness, no more light. I'll tell you, I stepped out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Where everything looked dark and gloomy before, I want to tell you it was bright that night. Oh, thank God on the way home, I couldn't get over it. It was a night when the moon was full, when the stars were shining, when the cloud in the sky. I said to my wife, I said, honey, have you ever seen the stars and moon that pretty? She said, honey, said they look like a full moon and a clear night. I said, I'd never seen it like that before. She reached over, put her hand on my arm, but said, honey, you never had been saved before. Thank God, I want to tell you right now, I got out that night when she went to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I hadn't slept for two nights much because of conviction. My mind was troubling me. Hell was confronting me. I was under Holy Ghost conviction. But I tell you, I got out and I looked up the sky and that moon had on God. It was about as bright as day, Brother Scott. Right across the road from that old farmhouse. It's no longer there. But there were some oak trees and there's a mountain breeze just blazing. Just barely those leaves are moving. I didn't know there's a fella named Isaiah in the Bible, but I want to tell you now, it looked like, it seemed like, brother, that the leaves are just clapping their hands saying, we're glad you're saved. When I found out the truth of millennial, I found out, thank God, you'll go forth, and the field will break forth with singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands for joy. Listen, I got excited about that thing. And I tell you, when I mind, and then the Bible speaks about man in 2 Timothy 3:8 that have corrupt mind. All they think about is corruption. All they think about is something evil. Listen, we need to set our affections on things above and not upon things of this world, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then Romans 8:6-7, he talks about carnal mind. For to be carnal minded is dead, but to be spiritual minded is life and the peace. You say, preacher, you want to know why some's are dead? They think too many carnal things, see too many carnal things, and follow too many carnal things. You say, I don't like that. It's the truth anyhow. Anyway, then God's word said in 2 Timothy 1:7, if you're saved, he told Timothy, writing to him, and he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear. You know, John Wright said, fear has torment. That's hell without hell. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. The Father's got good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If our mind's sound, it's not corrupt. We're thinking right. We have the mind of Christ. And then thank God, he said, we need to have our mind renewed every once in a while. We like to quote Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, one, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let it mold you, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. David said, I thought on my way and turned my feet to thy testimony. And the way his are going evidently wasn't right, but when he thought, he turned.
Oh my, yes. Right. Oh my.
Let this mind be in you. Why, always the Lord Jesus Christ did that pleased the Father. He said, I and my Father one. You talk about unity of mind. Praise God, they had it.
Yes.
They've got it. They still have.
Right.
We need our minds renewed. And then God's word tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 that we have the mind. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. But you and I have the mind of Christ, we're saved. If you get this old book right here, it tells us his words, what he's wrote tells us his mind.
Yes.
Tells us how to talk. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Amen. Tells us how to walk. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells us even how to think about some things that'll help our disposition. Like in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says these words. And you ought to use your mind. He said, find it, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes.
You go to thinking, you know, Jesus said, I know the Word of God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't it? The law says that. That's a commandment. You say that's one of them. No, it's a law of God. If you're offending one of them, James says you're guilty all of them. But anyway, he said then, Jesus said, you've heard it say of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh and lusteth, you've already committed adultery, although it's not an act. There's a young preacher one time preaching, bringing that in. Boy, when he brought, he just stopped, told the preacher, said, I got to go to the altar, said, I've lusted. There's hope for somebody like that. You'd say, that they'll keep on keeping on for the glory of God. What do you think about the Lord Jesus? There's some things that you and I need to think about him that he declared about himself. You know, I like that song, when he is on the cross, eyes on his mind. You was too, but if I say to you tonight, thank God before that there's ever crossed, before that tree that has ever grown, before that place of Calvary when God created it, thank God it was before then that he had you and I on our mind. You say, what do you think about him? I'll tell you tonight, he always has been. He didn't have his existence when he was born to the Virgin Mary, and the angels sang and the messenger from heaven said, glory to God in the highest. But I say to you, thank God, he always has been. Someone said, in the beginning, God. It don't say that. It said, in the beginning, God created. God didn't have a beginning. He's eternal I am, and so is the Son. And as old Linda Clear said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. He's a pre-existent one. In John 8, the Word of God tells us in verse 56 to 58, when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's what he said. He is before Abraham that they claimed about. In John 17, 5, when he prayed the Lord's Prayer, he said, Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world ever was. He's a pre-existent one. He always has been. And I thank God he knows all things. Did you know he knows the thoughts of every intent in the heart right now? Did you know every one of us and everybody in this county, all over the state of North Carolina that knows God could go on their knees and go to calling on God and it wouldn't confuse him a bit? He'd know the thought of every one of us and deal individually with every one of us, hallelujah, and answer each every one of us according to our need and minister to every one of us according to our need and never get a bit upset. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's him. Yes.
You say that's fatalism. That's facts. You can call it whatever you want to. He's a pre-existent one. I like what he said in Proverbs chapter 8. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. The word of God, I find it in just a minute. Give me time. And we'll just time as I know is important. But Proverbs chapter 8, the word of God has something to say. And this has to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 22. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, before this earth ever was, when there was no depths I was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while he has not yet not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens I was there, when he set a compass on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. That's so our little mind could grasp a little bit, thank God, of the preexistence of the Lord, like two grow up together, twin boys or girls brought up and growed up together. I mean, he said, I just, there's one brought up with him, and daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And this verse 31 gets me unglued, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. And my delight was with the sons of man. Thank God, before he ever made anything, he is thinking about you and I. He knew what was going to happen. Thank God he knew before the world ever was. And then in the fullness of time, he sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. I didn't need to know it before the foundation of the world, but I sure didn't need to know it 57 years ago when mercy and truth met together, when righteousness and peace kissed each other. He had me on his mind. He had you on his mind back there then. And that very minute, that very second, you come to God through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and the magnetism of the drawing of Jesus of being lifted up, fall down and said, God, do for me what I can't do for myself. I want to tell you, he had you on his mind, and thank God there's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented, more than 99 just persons that need none. That's what he come to do when he said he fulfilled it on the cross when he tasted death for every man. He's a pre-existent one. I'm glad he always has been. And God didn't call an emergency council of heaven when Adam and Eve sinned either. You say, couldn't God kept them from it? Yes, he could have programmed them like a computer, but sometimes them things are messed up and you got it programmed. They tell me, I don't know much about one. But I know God never has made a mess, but we sure have. And the very first thing, you know, when he came down, he knew what had happened. He didn't make the devil a devil either. He rebelled. He said, I'll be like the Most High, but God knew what was going to happen. You say, wherefore, but one man sinned in the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men for all his sin, and everybody's sin is needed a Savior, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God's eternal life, and all unrighteous sin, and the sinner. He said he read sinners in the hand of angry God a week ago tonight. But Jonathan Edwards, that ought to shook some of you up just reading it. And you say, why? Because our life, did you ever stop to think about it? I woke up of a night sometime and got to thinking about it, how close I come to going to hell. Oh, and got even fear, and then say, thank you, Lord. Thank God, wet my pillow with tears and say, thank you, Lord, for thinking about me, for being long-suffering towards me. He's a pre-existent one. Not only that, he's a predestined or predetermined one. It is all, everything about him is predetermined, even the words he'd say on the cross. God doesn't make any mistakes. Folks said there's mistakes in the Bible. Only mistake I found when I'm reading it, it shows me mine. Don't it you? He said he did. After man sinned in the Garden of Eden, what God done, what did Adam do? He hid. That's like all sinners. They won't hide in place, but there's no hiding place but him. Where you at, Adam? I hid myself. I was naked. What'd you do, Adam? He willfully sinned against God. God's commandment, the woman is deceived. You agree to that? Well, the devil looked and deceived the woman she gave to her husband. And he did eat. The eyes of the both of them. The one thing about being deceived to sin, another thing to willful sin. Adam willfully sinned. God said, what have you done? He said, the woman thou gavest me. He said, what have this you done? They wanted to pass the buck. We always want to pass the blame to somebody else. Said, the devil made me do it. She did it of her own will. Adam did it of his own will. All we like sheep have gone astray. When we come to the age of accountability, mankind loves evil better than good, and they love darkness rather than light. We turned our own way till God stopped us on our mad rush to damnation and destruction. And God said to them, what did the Lord do? He told the devil, Satan, in Genesis 3:14, predetermined, he said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. And he said, you're going to bruise his heel, the seed of the woman, but he's going to bruise your head. I read over in the book of 16th chapter of Romans one day and got excited just in the house. You ever do that? I mean, you don't have to be with a bunch of people. You can get excited just you and the Lord. And I read where God's going to bruise Satan under our feet shortly. And I was having a little bit of a battle right then at that time, trusting God to deliver me out of it. And I said, hallelujah, when I come to the house. I didn't want to carry dirty in on a clean floor where my wife had. I wiped my shoes off on the doormat. And I said, glory to God, one day the devil that goes about like a roaring lion, we wipe our feet on him and bruise him under our feet shortly. You say, well, we'll have plenty of time to in eternity if it needs to be. But I got excited. He is a predestined, predetermined one, Moses said, wrote in Deuteronomy 8:15, the Lord God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear. He'll point the way to the people. The law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the laws of knowledge of sin, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for it's a knowledge of sin. But being justified freely by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only through him can you have peace. It even told about in Psalms 22, David, he cried out, even the words then, where Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The only time that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ever said that and didn't say the Father was when he has made sin for you and I, and God's a pure eyes to behold iniquity. God placed on him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sin dead. God turned his back and he cried in darkness over the face of the earth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then not only that, God told Isaiah to tell King Ahaz, ask for a sign in heaven. Ask for it wherever you want to. He said, I won't tempt the Lord. He said, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel with us. Boy, that's it. Then God let Isaiah look down through the telescope of time in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, that the government upon his shoulder, and the increase of it there'll be no end. You know, I looked up that word wonderful today. It means exciting, strange, and unusual. Just like in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt you, I'll praise you, for you've done many wonderful things. That word wonderful means exciting, strange, and unusual. And if the name of Jesus don't excite you, what he's done, thank God, everything he made, when you go out here and consider the heaven, you look at these mountains that God weighed in the balance, the water that he made, measured in the hollow of his hand, calls every star by name, has the sun by day, the moon by night, and then thank God everything he made. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. The other year, back in the 90s, there's a fellow back when I was a teenage boy in high school. We played in a group, we called it hillbilly back then, now they call it country. That country music I have now don't, but I tell you, if somebody can really play a banjo good and play someone in old town, I'd rather hear somebody play Cripple Creek on a banjo than somebody go on some of this contemporary music. You can fall out for me if you want to. You say, I don't like that. Well, that's just the way I feel about it. Anyway, this fella, they called him Five String Dalton. Man, he could play a banjo. He won the champion 3 times to Fiddler's Convention. And back that time, I hadn't heard from him in years. Him and his wife separated a little while. They got back together, broke up, Don Dean, some of them. You know, it's like singers and others in any walk of life. I found out all true. I thought when I got to be a Christian, there wasn't no jealousy nowhere, but I found out different. You got to look over. Back in that time, a fellow me that played a mandolin, we got more requests. We was on our Pulaski, Virginia every Saturday. We got a few requests, some right in, you know, and a fellow done one or two didn't like that. They said, we don't need y'all no more. Well, that's all right. They had the right to. You say, well, what would we do? We took our guitar and mandolin and moved on. And Five String Dalton went with us. I hadn't heard from him in years, and I started another band, and right then and there, I had it till I went in the Army. But, Mount Airy, North Carolina, 1948. But, you know, something I hadn't heard from this fella. We called Kermit Dalton his name. They called him Five String. Man, he could play. He could play a guitar, too. He could make that banjo. He could play Mockingbird on it and almost make you homesick. He could have a bird. That's the only person I ever heard. That's what he won the first prize on at the Fiddler's Convention, playing Listen to the Mockingbird. Y'all look at me kind of funny. You've heard that kind of music. I don't doubt what some of you don't listen yet. But anyway, you know what I heard? I come and they said, my brother said at Mount Airy at Autumn Leaves Festival, said, I saw that dog and said, I heard somebody really playing a banjo. My oldest brother's a preacher right before he died. And then my sister, he died and I didn't know what had become. I knew he went to New Jersey. But then I was over there before I moved, right before I left Bristol, and my sister said they was over there and some of them was playing music. And I called to find out where he's at. I got a burden on my heart. I'm a 17-year-old boy. I wasn't even saved and I hadn't seen him. But God burdened me till I was burdened so I couldn't hardly stand it. And I went and called and I happened to have my guitar and another fellow with me. And called over there, and he couldn't remembered my older brother. And finally another one, and I said, we'll come to your house. His dad, he had his dad's farm there next to Old Mill Golf Court. Then he didn't come. I called back, and he said, can you meet at Ivor Kimmel's? And we went over there that night. Renewed acquaintance a little bit, and a witness to him. He said, sing Sweet By and By, and I'm not much of a singer. Said, them earth got songs that got a foundation to them. The Unclouded Day, and man, I tell you, we got to singing some of them. I got a chance to witness. I got his address, and every month, a meeting that I'd preach evangelistic sermon about being saved. I'd send it to him, or one up in New Jersey. I didn't know that he has handed out to five families and over 30-some people is hearing that ever. I kept after him. Every time he had come down, and his granddaughter and her sister and her husband are saved. He is a deacon in a Baptist church up there, a missionary one. And boy, up there in that Catholic country, there's not many churches that stand, but there is. They went to see him, and Kermit Dalton, he told that preacher, he said, "I've got a preacher, a real preacher. It's a friend of mine down in Virginia. He sends me a tape." Well, anyway, to make a long story short, on Thanksgiving Day, that morning we got up and ate breakfast, and all my children was up yonder where it lives. And I said, "I'm burdened. I'm going to take my guitar and go over there right before he goes back to New Jersey." I went over there, and he told me something that broke my heart. I wondered why he was as hard, why that it seemed to others. He said, "Rayton," he said, "I want to tell you something. I had a boy 11 years old. He had taught to play. I bought him a Martin guitar. I bought him one where you plug in the amplifier the best, and he has done learning to play it. But my boy and some others is out in the yard, and a drunk come and hit my boy, hurt the other, and killed my son, one of them." He said, "That night, I walked up, out there in the moon was shining the stars." He said, "I looked up and said, if there's anything, if there's a heaven or something, my little boy done wrong, not accountable, let me see something." He dropped his head and said, "Right," and I didn't see anything. I said, "Kermit, you did too." He said, "No, I didn't." I said, "You said the stars were shining. Yes. The moon was bright. Yes. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Yes, sir. Yes,
the showeth forth his handiwork."
"Yes, sir. Yes, sir."
I said, "Your little boy, he didn't know. He got hit by drunk, and he said they didn't do nothing to him. My son killed him." He said, "I think of him every day, right? Is there heaven?" I said, "There he is." He didn't get saved then. You say he didn't know. I played with him a little bit. All my children, goddamn my wife, we prayed for him. But you know, when he come back the next year, he called me. We got together. He had a heart attack. Went up yonder and I called him in the hospital. He said, "You just made my day. My sister's buried. He come to her funeral." He said, "Right," and thinking about it, I said, "Kermit, you need to get right." Thank God he got saved. Had another heart attack before he could be baptized. You say he didn't make it to heaven. Well, I didn't know you had to. The thief on the cross didn't. I believe you got in paradise. But anyway, up at Vaughn Gwynn Funeral Home that night, I walked in. His other son, 57 years old at that time, he is there, and he come up and he said, "Rayton, I was a little boy when I left." He said, "But I know your voice. I want to thank you for telling my pop." That's what he called him. Amen. He said, "My pop's in heaven because he said he's going."
Amen, Doc. Oh, yes. Yes.
But his son-in-law had already told me that he wanted to go hear Brother Jeff Wood at Stone Mountain that morning, even when his dad died, but he didn't get saved. I said, "What about you, Irvin?" He said, "Rayton, I'm going to just as soon as the funeral's over." I said, "Well, you don't have to wait if you want to." He said, "I get saved right now." I think a funeral home's a good place to pass from death unto life. I just got him over there in the corner. He got gloriously saved. He went over to his wife and said, "Honey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven with you." I said, "Go tell your mama. She is a hard shell Baptist. Every time I talk to her, Miss Dalton, she'd say, I do like my mama said, or I do the best I can. She is sitting in a chair tired. He went over there and knelt down and said, Mom, I done it like a little boy. Said, what'd you do, honey? Said, I just asked Jesus my heart and he saved me. Yeah. And I'm going to heaven, Pop. Boy, she reached and got him and mothered him like one that little boy would if he had hurt his toe. Said, well, bless your heart, honey. I said, Miss Dalton, don't you think it's about time you surrendered? Boy, she has broke up. She said, right, and I've been wanting to, and I'm canning. I said, well, it's a good time.
Why, yeah.
Boy, Brother Jeff and some of them come in. That man, everybody he's seen come in. He said, thank you for coming. But let me tell you, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven with Pop. Bless God. Thank God to have that. Yeah. You can't tell me, thank God, right in the funeral where there's grief and they can't get glory.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Someone said, you played Cripple Creek. Yeah. I'll play Cripple Creek again to win three people to God, too. He's a predestined one. Peter said in Acts 2:22-24, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken the wicked hands, crucified and slain, but death wouldn't hold him. He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah, he arose.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Then not only that, you see, the preexistent one, if you get your mind right, he always has been. God didn't create emergency council of heaven to send his son, only begotten son. He always has been. I read it to you. He is with the Father and is predetermined of what he's going to do. But one man centered in the world, death by sin, the first Adam's made a living soul, the last Adam's making a quickening or life-giving spirit, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. I got quickened. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead even will quicken this old mortal body. I go to feeling like right now about David running through a troop and leaping over a wall. Glory to God. I was about to do it in the choir singing. You say, why you didn't? I don't know. I reckon I had the emergency brakes on or something. But anyway, he's a preeminent one. You say he is. That word means to purpose, to choose, to make superior a name that's above all others. And that's exactly what this said here in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself, become obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. And wherefore God has also highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, things in earth, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Colossians chapter 1, the word of God tells us in verse 12, I kind of like this. You say it did, yet giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know when you inherit something that somebody leaves you that you didn't work for just because somebody loved you, left you in the will.
Why, yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Life, will, and testament. I got it right here and I'm in it.
Yes.
You have too. You said, what he done? He made us heirs of God, joint heirs, Jesus Christ, for one thing.
Right.
Amen. Yes. He's already promised us, left us his will. That's we born the image of the earthly, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. It does not yet appear what we'll be, but we know that when he'll appear, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He willed it. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And he's delivered us from power of darkness, translated us the kingdom of his dear son. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heavens and earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones, dominion, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him, before him, and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body of the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know he's going to have it. He ought to have it now, and he'll have it.
Yes, sir, David. Yes, sir.
Ever kneel bow to him? Not any question about it. He's a Lord of creation. He's a Lord of salvation. He's a Lord of sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he's the Lord of glorification. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself."
Yes.
I'm like a black preacher said, I likes to call him Lord, don't you? I like to call him Savior. I like to call him Jesus. There's something just about that name. And there's just something about it. An old brother witnessed to me, and I was lost out. God, he's 64 and he got saved. He was a witness till he died in 80. Everybody saw. He had tears run down that old weather-beaten brown face off the right of his hands where he broke fingers and others still working. He'd say, "Do you love Jesus? But don't you ought to. I want to tell you what he's done." Boy, time he got talking about Jesus, the next thing you knew, you had an inward unexplainable and outward all oversness. There's just something about it. God's given him a name. It's above every name. What do you think about it? Higher than the heavens, holier than the holiest of holies. Think about him. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. Get out and find it. Find the will of God for your life, this word. Ask him, "Well, Lord, what would you have me to do?" That's what Apostle Paul did when he struck down on the road to Damascus, and God did it. He told some of them, "Bonds and afflictions await me." But he said, "They don't run out and move me." He didn't say they didn't hurt him, but he said, "They don't move me." You say what? There's a name he had. There's a person he had with him. There's a name that's above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a pre-existent one. He's a predestined one. Everything about him coming, you and I are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We'd be holy and without blame before him. We got in love. In love when we got in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. I say tonight, are you in Christ or out of Christ? That's the thing that matters. Are you in the will and way of the Lord? Or are you going your way? And I want to tell you, you go trying to go your way, sooner or later, you're going to wind up on a dead-end street and wish you hadn't been there. One route you hadn't have turned, you turn away from the Lord, like Demas forsaken, Paul said, and turn to Thessalonica, having loved this present world. There's something better in this world than just a world of things, and that's the Lord. Where's your mind at tonight? Where's your thinking? Where's your virtue? One day my wife and I was weeping for something sitting there in a chair over a person. I said to her, and she said, "Right now, I love you." I said, "I love you, honey. I wouldn't do nothing in the world to hurt you." She said, "I feel the same way like you." And I went over there and knelt down and hugged her. You say, "You still act that way at 72? I said, "It's a lot more fun to flirt than it is to fuss. Bless God, you didn't like it, don't want to." I never call home before I don't tell her I love her. I still open my door for her just like I did when we was courting. You say, "Why, she's my sweetheart. She's my honey. She hung on the horn to the altar for God for me for nearly 2 years. She's always been by my side. Wherever God said go, no matter what, she'd go." And the one, God sent him on an errand from glory. And he come down here, took upon him the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Humbled himself, become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Raised from the dead, God's highly exalted him, giving him a name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on that name for salvation and mean it, he'll save you. Call on that name for help and he'll help you. Call on that name for strength and he'll strengthen you. Call on that name, thank God, for a need and he'll supply all the need. I'll tell you, he's got time. A sparrow don't fall to the ground without he's not got time to attend his funeral. He feeds the birds, and I tell you right now, he said, consider them. They don't sow together in any barn. I'll tell you, look to the Lord. You got a need. Person called me back out of last year, said, Brother Ray, if you need anything, you be sure and call me. I said, if I needed something, I wouldn't tell you. I'd pray, and then God might tell you. You say, why? I got a bigger source to come from. Hallelujah. Yeah. It'd bankrupt the state of North Carolina to feed the bird for one day all over the world and put you in debt so far you'd never get out.
Right, dog. Yes.
And yet, you call help, Lord. He's right there to help you.
Amen.
He's the living bread. He's the water of life. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. And there's just something about that name. Every once in a while, like the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and I close, he'll bring you into the banquet house and set you down. And there's a banner, you hear a little fluffing. You look up, and there's a banner of love waving over you. And then, like in verse about 3, he'll kiss you with the kisses of his mouth, his love better than wine. And one day he kissed me. You say how he did? Yeah, when he breathed the breath of life in man's nostrils. He bent down and kissed him, same words in the Song of Solomon. Same things, you run it back through to Acts chapter 2,
right,
when there's all filled the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's what birthed you into God's family. What a still do it, hallelujah.
Yeah,
I'll help you.
Yes.
There's something about that name. If you're here tonight and you never called upon it for mercy, do so. I don't care if you're in a funeral home. Don't care where you're at. When God gets somebody hemmed up, you don't care where they're at. He said, I get saved right here. Yeah, Brother Jeff come in, he saw him. He said, preacher, I just got saved. Jeff said, when did he get saved? I said, a while ago, back out in that corner.
Amen.
It don't make any difference.
Right.
One stopped me one day and he said, you know something? Talking to him, said, I felt like a month or so ago. I ought to go see a preacher and find out how to be saved. I said, well, I'll tell you, I'm not much of one. But I can tell you, he said, can you? I said, yeah, and I just happened to have a testament in my pocket. He got there, and you say, what'd he do? And he got down there, and he said, praise God, I'm saved. And go and tell everybody. Run the telephone and said, Mama,
yeah,
you don't have to pray for your boy to get saved no more. I just got in. Yeah. That's enough to make a fella get excited. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving me. I thank you there's a name that's above every name. Lord, that lovely, wonderful name, that name that I've called and in Jesus' name as we pray. You said, hitherto have we asked nothing in your name, asking it to be given. Lord, you give us the power of attorney to use your name. Every one of us, your children. You said we have not because we ask not. And oh, Lord, I pray for help. I pray, Lord, for healing of our nation. I pray for help for individuals. Oh, God, I pray for my sister-in-law. We just got the call operated on today. So sick, we call. Lord, that you give her ease and help. And I know you will because, God, you don't withhold any good thing from them that fear you. And I pray right now, Lord, if there's a lost person here, save them. Child of God away from you, bring them back to you. As our brother leads us in a verse of song. Lord, whatever he's got picked out, I pray in Jesus' name right now, somebody will come and call on that name that's above every name. Lord, if they want the forgiveness, they already been saved, or they failed you walking a guilty distance, straight away, may they ask you, Lord, for help. May they ask you to be restored. May they ask you for cleansing. May, Lord, out of fellowship, get back in. And may that poor sinner cast himself upon the mercy of God and say, Lord Jesus, they say you come to save sinners and to die for them. Lord, that's all I knew that night. But when I called on the Lord and they showed me to call upon him, that name, Lord Jesus, save me. You saved me by your marvelous grace. I didn't have to take a course in theology, but I bowed my knee before you. Lord, right now, as my brother leads us in a song, who needs to come, may they come.